Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to ScaryCast for another Tuesday here at 10 p.m. Eastern Time, and we're excited. We've got a great show lined up for you tonight. This is Dr. John, also of Comic-Con Stars, who you'll hear me on Thursday night with my regular crew. Tonight, I've got a couple of announcements to make, and then we'll say hello to our co-host and we'll say hello to our guests. First of all, wanted to make sure that everybody knows and everyone has heard the Georgia Bigfoot Conference is coming to Athens, Georgia, which is the home of the University of Georgia, on September the 8th, 2018. That will be at the Holiday Inn in downtown Athens. What a great location. We got our first couple of featured speakers lined up. First of all, Matthew Delf, who's my co-author in the book Lizard Man, Bigfoot, and Friends. We've got his great story of the Indiana Bigfoot sighting in our book. He will be there actually hosting and taking care of all those duties and talking about some Bigfoot exploration. By that time, he should have some new footage to show, and we're really excited about that. We have got, just confirmed tonight, John Dixon from Tennessee MUFON. John's a great guy. He's got some really neat stories. He's going to be bringing computer screens and all this stuff, and we can watch some of the latest stuff from the Mutual UFO Network, and John is always a lot of fun to have. So we're excited that John will be there with us at the Georgia Bigfoot Conference. And, of course, I will be there speaking from book Lizard Man, Bigfoot, and Friends. Got a lot of cool things. I've got a lot of new stories, actually, that are going to go in a volume two, which will probably come out sooner than later. We've already got, I think, six stories. So as soon as I have a few more people contribute, we'll come out with volume two of that book. So if you want a copy of it, please go to GeorgiaBigfootConference.com or go to ScaryCast.com. And on the right, you'll see click here for the paperback or click here for the Kindle ebook. So we hope you can grab yourself a copy of that, enjoy it, and let me know what you think. I'm easy to find. Just go to ScaryCast on Facebook and shoot me a message. I'll find it. So again, thanks to everybody who has purchased the book so far. We've gotten some nice compliments from it, and we're going to keep moving along with Lizard Man, Bigfoot, and Friends, and, of course, the Georgia Bigfoot Conference, which is September the 8th, and then do not forget the Tennessee Bigfoot Conference, October 19th, 20th, and 21st, along with the Kingsport Comic-Con up there at Bays Mountain Park in Kingsport. It's a lot of fun. Great people up there. Papa Stroh will be headlining that one with us, so look forward to seeing everybody there. Stephen Logan, how are you doing tonight?
Doing good. Glad to be talking about the paranormal tonight.
Well, that's good. It's all good and scary. That's what ScaryCast is about sometimes. So we're very glad to have you. We've got some more interesting guests. You're helping us line up for the next couple weeks, and so we're going to have a blast. Now, tonight, thank you very much to the one and only John Dixon, who put me on to Ed Schoenberger. And Ed, good evening, and thank you for being with us.
Good evening. Thanks for having me.
You are welcome. You are from Pennsylvania area, kind of West Virginia, Pennsylvania area. Is that's correct, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I was born in West Virginia, and then I live in Pennsylvania. I've lived in Pennsylvania most of my life.
Okay, well, you were born in one of my favorite states because of my buddy, the Mothman. Have you ever been up to Point Pleasant?
I have not.
Well, that's what we all needed. I think Matt Delf and I are planning an excursion up there for the Bigfoot Day Festival in September, so maybe you can join us and we can all have some friends, Steve. Maybe everybody can join us. We'll just have a blast up there hanging out with Mothman. It really would be. And I just think the Mothman legacy is so much fun. But the reason we've got you tonight is, first of all, you were recommended to me by John Dixon. And from what I understand, if I make sure I say this correct, you're a certified paranormal investigator, correct?
Yes.
Okay, and you are studying a lot of other – pardon?
No, yeah, I'm certified through Thomas Francis University.
Right, yeah, that's wonderful. And you have gone on a number of investigations, I take it.
Oh, yeah, I've done lots of cool stuff. And I've done many on my own.
And doing that stuff on your own, that's kind of scary, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I always have a partner with me.
Okay. Well, that's a safe thing. Except now, I got to tell you a funny story. I'm not going to tell what property it was nor who I was with, but we were going through a very, very haunted hospital, and it had recently come under disuse, and a gentleman happened to be part of the security team that could get in there, and I got a little bit worried about my buddy who was walking with me. He started getting a little bit strange on me there, and you know, you never know what can happen to people when they're walking through areas of paranormal experience, right? So anyway, yeah, it was. I always like to take three people. it's a little harder to infect two people than one. So anyway, that's just one thing that I've learned. But anyway, we're glad to have you. And I guess the first topic, the reason I got talking to you is that you have done some investigations up at Gettysburg at the National Battlefield.
Well, in the town of Gettysburg, you're actually not allowed to investigate on the battlefield unless you get special permission.
Can you only like go see the battlefield like during the day when it's open?
Well, you can go on the battlefield, but any equipment, any ghost equipment, they do not allow you. One of the controversial issues was the EMF reader. They declare that like a metal detector, and you're not allowed to have a metal detector on the battlefield. And most people would never say an EMF detector is a metal detector. But
well,
but the places I've investigated have been buildings. I've also done Saks Bridge, which is a famous bridge out there.
Well, so tell us about the bridge. What did you find there?
Well, the bridge, my own personal experiences were not a lot. People that I've gone with have had but they feel mostly what I've gone with there, people are like, they feel like they get scratched. As far as the actual like evidence that I would count as my evidence, like EVPs and things I've seen at Saks Bridge, I've not gotten a lot at Saks Bridge, but many other people actually have.
Okay, what have some of the other people gotten? I mean, in terms of EVPs, can you remember what some of them have said?
EVPs, no. But I know this. I mean, you can look online where people have taken pictures, and you see a silhouette of a Civil War soldier. Lots of orbs. Orbs is a pretty controversial subject with people that go ghost hunting, because the camera effects. Just a dust in the air, a bug in the air, it'll come off looking like an orb. So a lot of times when most people will dismiss orbs as it's cool and interesting, but you wouldn't say a place is haunted just because you get that orb on a photograph. Like any night where it's raining out, you go out and take pictures, just the way the rain affects it, you'll have orbs anywhere you go as far as what it looks like on the camera.
Okay. Interesting. Now, what about there are times when orbs are fairly big and you can almost see a picture or an image of someone or something in those orbs?
That's true. Like I said, I've always dismissed orbs until I was on an investigation with a different group, and we were in a farmhouse in Gettysburg, which I believe, from my experience, it's the only place that I've ever felt things were demonic. Pretty much everybody that's gone there with me gets the same feeling. But in that house, I actually saw an orb go by a doorway. It looked about the size of a bowling ball, and it was like kind of orangish colored. And once I saw that, now, at that point, I have a whole different opinion of orbs, That's what I mean. It's not that orbs don't exist. It's just when you take pictures, it's hard to tell just from a picture that it's an orb. But when you literally see an orb, a lot of the ways where they distinguish pictures of orbs as being legit is if it gives off its own glow. if it's just a picture of a circle that's like dark colored, everybody dismisses it. But if it's a picture and there's a little bit of a glow to it, then it gets people more thinking it could be something.
Okay. Well, that's a good way to distinguish. I hadn't heard that, but then we're here to learn as well as tell stories. So, that's very interesting. Well, now, okay, so you said at the bridge you didn't really have a lot. At that farmhouse, you had a very nasty feeling there. What are some of the other investigations that you've done that you would determine as very positive in terms of what you saw or heard or recorded?
Positive as in not a demonic, you mean? Or?
Right, as in something spiritual or whatever.
Well, see, most other places so the farmhouse is the only place I've ever gotten a negative feeling. The other places I've gone, I get evidence, but I never get a feeling like it's something evil or it's going to attack me or anything like that. Like the Farnsworth Inn, that's the one back in the, I'm not sure exactly, it was post-Civil War, but there was a kid, a young kid named Jeremy, who was playing out in the street, and he got ran over by a carriage, and he took him inside, and he ended up dying in the Farnsworth Inn. And a lot of people will see a small child there. One of the investigations that I did, they have a room there that's named after him, and they have, like children toys in it. Like, there's a shelf that has all these different toys on the shelf. And part of the investigation that me and this other guy did, we took we always take pictures before the investigation and then after, so that you can say, you know, you're not wondering if something moved. You have, you know, you actually have proof that something moved.
Right.
And, but I had taken a toy soldier off of that shelf and put it over across the room on a dresser, and I said, you know, I just asked Jeremy. I was like, you know, if you're here, just knock this soldier over. And then we went out to Gettysburg and, you know, looked around a while and came back maybe, I don't know, hour and a half later. And when I came in, that soldier was actually still standing, but on the shelf, all the other soldiers were knocked over. And so it was like, you know, it's exactly kind of what we asked him to do. I mean, he didn't knock the one down that I put there, but all the other ones, maybe he was being defiant. I don't know.
Or maybe he was showing off.
Because I had pictures before we left the room of those soldiers still standing up there, we come back and they're down, it's like kind of validates it.
Exactly. Now, how long ago was that?
Oh, that was about not October of 2016.
It's about a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
Now, how do you know that someone didn't come in and knock all those other others over?
Well, anything's a possibility, but it was, you know, we rented the room. They're not allowed in there. They would have had to known that I asked, to, you know, that I asked that to be knocked over. So, they're going to say anything
is
possible.
This is your hotel room. Yeah, okay, so this is your hotel room.
It's an inn. It's basically a motel, but it's you rent different rooms in the inn. Yeah, it's Farnsworth Inn and Tavern.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, that's a good story. All right. Well, what are some of the other places that you had interesting things happen? This is getting good.
Okay. Well, I do have a story about come back to. To there then, but another place that I had stayed, and this is more of a nightmare story as far as being an investigator, but stayed at the Castown Inn. It was me and this one other guy that went, and he ended up getting scared. So any investigation attempt was kind of like, he didn't want to turn the lights out, he didn't want to do this. So that night ended up being pretty bad, but before it all went downhill, we had was basically a baby monitor is basically what it was. Like we left a you know, we left it in the room, and then we took like the walkie-talkie with us down to the down to the restaurant that's part of the Cast Town Inn, and we could hear her walking around, like, you know, like wooden boots, and that's something that place is known for. So, you know, I kind of like, well, yeah, we hear her, but it's probably somebody in the room next to it, somebody else walking around. But then I asked the lady that was serving there, and we were the only ones in the, we were the only ones there. So there was nobody, there was no human upstairs, but we clearly got, you know, somebody walking around. And of course, the Cast Town Inn, that was actually Robert E. Lee's headquarters during the during the war, like during the Battle of Gettysburg.
Okay, and so have you seen? You say you've seen some soldiers, right? I know you said you saw the one on that bridge, right?
No, no, I didn't see that. That was other like people taking photographs with soldiers have shown up. Now the the only ghost I literally saw was actually not in Gettysburg. It was about near where I live in Mount Holly Springs, which is like 25-30 minutes away from Gettysburg. I was coming home from work one night, and this young boy runs in front of my car wearing like a gray hoodie, and I slowed down. I tap my horn, flash my lights at him, and he turns around, and there's like basically no face, it's just all blackness inside, and then it turns into like this little like white gray smoke and just like, you know, drips away.
Wow, that was kind of scary. About what time did that happen?
Oh, that was 11, 12 o'clock at night.
Was it a fairly remote area?
Well, Holly's a small town. This house is around, but it's not like a city now.
Yeah. Any legends or any stories of who that boy might have been?
The closest I could come up with, my aunt told me there was a young boy that was hit by a car on that road. But beyond that, I haven't found any personal evidence on that. Although, to be honest, I never really researched it. This happened probably 2000, back before everything could be Googled.
Gotcha. So pretty close to 20 years ago.
Yeah, I guess it has been.
Anybody else that you know seen that particular apparition? Okay.
No, I don't have anybody that saw that.
All right. Well, now you say that you are, not that you say you are a certified paranormal investigator. Tell us a little bit about the institution where you got your training. Because I know a lot of people, they frequently say, well, how can I become a paranormal investigator? Well, I know Lloyd Auerbach out in California has a nice home study course that you can do. I know that there's the Warren Institute of Parapsychology up in Asheville, who John Dixon studied with. Tell us a little bit about the institute you studied with.
Yeah, it was mostly online. It was really thorough, though. It went through like EVPs, how to properly analyze the material, went over the whole thing with a camera, like camera shakes, how to deal with clients. It was very thorough with all that stuff. And you get assignments throughout it too that you have to hand into them, and they review them and pass you or not. You have to go investigate a haunted location and take notes and, you know, speak to different people, their experiences, send it into their teachers. And I was pretty happy with the course overall. It was very thorough as far as, they talked a lot about like the philosophy about, you know, believing people, and, but it was also very technical as far as like equipment, how to use the equipment, what to dismiss as evidence.
So have you ever done any, I mean, I know some people do paranormal investigation for a living, and they do it as professionals and they get paid for it. And have you been fortunate enough to be on that end of doing it, or have you always done it as a volunteer?
Yeah, I've never did it as far as a business. It's something I've considered, but it's more of a, because of the experiences that I've had and what I've seen, it's almost more of a interest. I want to kind of validate what I saw. And with a lot of things, I know what I've seen and what I've experienced. And so it's more of, that's more the reason why I got into it.
Right. I mean, let's face it. You can't undo what you've seen.
Right.
It's on the
right.
timeline, and that's there forever. And it's always interesting when you can try to validate, you know, whatever you have seen. It's always that's a good way of self exploration and all that. So,
yeah.
Where are you? Do you have any projects that are ongoing right now that you're looking at doing some continuing investigation on?
There are still numerous places in Gettysburg that I want to do. There's a Gettysburg Hotel. There's the one I may be doing in a few months. I don't know if you know what Jenny Wade is. She was the only civilian killed during the Civil War. But her birth house is known to be haunted, which is in Gettysburg. And then there's the orphanage. The orphanage is a place I really, really want to do. That's been on pretty much any ghost show, like Taps, Ghost Adventures. The orphanage, because of the history of the orphanage, that's supposed to be kind of a demonic place from what people say. But the evidence has been pretty good. What I've seen as far as TV shows, sometimes on TV shows, they kind of exaggerate stuff, but people usually get good evidence at the orphanage.
Yeah. What kind of things have they said about the orphanage? I've seen it a couple of times, but try as I can't exactly remember. What was the story there?
Okay. Yeah. The story, after the Civil War, after the Battle of Gettysburg, there was a lot of orphans. So they started an orphanage, and everything was great for a few years. And the headmistress, I think she got married, or for whatever reason, she ended up leaving. And they hired a lady named Rosa Carmichael, and she would literally chain kids up in the basement, have the older kids beat the younger kids. It became a big thing, mostly because the orphanage would always take part of the remembrance parade, and then, you know, they would always be around town, but they were nowhere to be seen. But they were never allowed to leave the orphanage. But people started noticing that, and then they ended up, you know, investigating it. And all those varying stories, basically, she ended up being fined like $10 and told to leave town. That was like her punishment for torturing kids for for years.
For years.
Yeah. But because
wow.
That was such a negative thing, that, you know, that's why people think of that more of a negative place.
Exactly. I would assume they closed it down once they got rid of her.
I don't know if it closed down right then, but it did close down at some point. I don't know the exact date. I don't think it closed down right after her, though. But at some point, it became unnecessary to have an orphanage in Gettysburg.
See, so yeah, there's definitely a lot in and around Gettysburg. But I guess it being so old and so much happened there, you know, a war occurred in Gettysburg, and a lot of deaths happened. And so
yeah, there was
a lot
like
of
what was it, like 90,000 people or something like that, or 50,000. I forget the exact number, but yeah. And a lot of people don't realize how bad it really was in Gettysburg. you only see a lot of documentary on this side of it, I guess. But literally, like, they'd be buildings where, like, people would be amputated. And there'd be, arms piled up to, like, a second-story window. I mean, it was bad. I mean, it was really bad. Or, like, the Wineberry River. It's more of a stream. I think they call it Wineberry Run. That used to actually flow through the town. There are sections now in town where you can still see it, but they mostly made it underground now. But soldiers that were hurt, they would, even the doctors tell them to go stand, go by the lake where it's cooler and all that, because this was, really hot in July. And what ended up happening, though, it ended up flooding. And because they were hurt, they couldn't even get out of it. They couldn't even get out of it, so they ended up drowning.
Wow. What an absolute disaster it was up there. And war is never good, but that's just, that's horrible. Those are some stories I guess I've never heard before, so it's good. Because I know, I guess being part of the ghost hunter is being part of the story. And I'm sure you've done a lot of historical research in and around the Gettysburg area.
Oh, yeah. I know a lot about the history of the buildings.
Right. Well, that's cool. So, other than Gettysburg, where have been some of the places that you've investigated? And tell us a little bit about those.
Well, almost all of my investigations have been in Gettysburg. I have...
Okay.
Trying to think here. There's other places around it that's on my list of places to do. Like York, which is from Gettysburg, is probably like maybe an hour. There's like four or five famous places down there. I visited some other locations. Again, you probably don't know where any of these places are, but East Berlin, which is probably 15 minutes from Gettysburg. There's a place there that's known to be a haunted inn. Up by Cross Keys is another place that's also known. But what I have done, whenever you, like the EMF readers, to me it's important, like if you use it at your own house, because it's almost like when you're in another location and you start getting EMF hits, you realize that it's, usually no explanation. Because if you're at if you're at your house and you're not getting any hits, and then you go to another location that's, allegedly haunted, and you start getting electric magnetic field readings, it's kind of a sign that, it kind of validates it for yourself.
Exactly. So how much is an EMF reader cost? How much is that equipment?
It depends on how you want to do it. There's a ghost meter. I have one of those. I think I paid like $30 for it. The ones you see on TV is usually like a K2, called a K2 meter. It reads the same thing, but they're like $70, which isn't cheap, but it's not, super expensive either.
Right. Have you ever used something on, it's an app called Ghost Radar?
I've played around with those. Those are mostly fake. They're more for entertainment. I'm not sure.
I was just wondering.
One you're probably, what's that?
Yeah, I was just wondering what your experience was. Go ahead, for sure.
Well, you can, I've downloaded like an EVP recorder before on an app. They seem legit because all it's really doing is recording voices. It's just recording sound. I knew someone who had a thermal reader and on an app, but it was totally fake. Like you put it in an ice box, it almost like it tries to guess what's supposed to be hot. So most of those apps, I won't say all of them are fake, but I've never seen one that I really believe in. unless it's just like an EVP recorder.
Okay. So if you were going to tell someone, if someone wanted to start out doing ghost hunting and wanted to go with a couple friends and wanted to be serious about it, what would you tell them that they'd want to buy, and like what kind of budget to get started would they want to spend?
Oh, I'd have to itemize it out, but I think under $200 you get a good amount. I mean, it kind of depends on how many people you want to buy equipment for. But, you know, you want the a couple of recorders. Now, it depends. It would be more expensive if you wanted to buy, like, a camera to record, like, some kind of a, you know. Those are more expensive. But if you get a, like, a spirit box, an EVP, like a K2 meter. Another thing a lot of people have. I'm sorry?
What?
Go ahead.
Now, I was going to say, what is a spirit box?
Spirit box. That is a thing. It's basically a radio, and it speeds through the stations really, really fast. And the thought is that it can pick up spirit sound, like they can use it to talk through it. I had one good experience with it. Like I said, this is something I never really believed in because I thought it was just picking up radio waves and parts of songs and stuff, and it does do that.
Mm-hmm.
But I was in a place where, like, it was answering questions. There was like 10 of us. It was answering questions, but it would only answer questions when I asked the questions. And then a friend of mine said something like he's going to be sarcastic. He's like, who do you like here? And then I said, Ed, which is my name. And then a couple minutes later, it said my name again. So, now I start validating it. Is this thing effective? It basically just flies through the stations, and it can pick up spirit voices.
Okay, that's pretty. And so, how much does a spirit box cost?
Again, they vary in prices. I think I got mine for like $40. There's tons of different websites. Like, you can find stuff that's used. You can find good deals. Gettysburg has a lot of places. One of my favorite places in Gettysburg is called Gettysburg Paranormal Association, and they've done a lot of, Jolene Riley's like the one, I guess, in charge of it, and she's done a lot of different ghost things, and but they have lots of different equipment that they sell there.
Okay, well, that's good to know. So if we ever want to really get started, go up to Gettysburg, find Gettysburg Paranormal, and go see what they've got.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Now, I know you and I have been dominating the conversation. I just realized, Steve, you're sitting there. You got any questions for Ed? It's been very interesting. I also like getting numbers and prices. That's always nice for people that want to know how much does it cost to do this. You got anything you want to pose to Ed?
Yeah. Have you worked with mediums, and would you suggest paranormal investigators have them along and investigating for ghosts?
That's a good question, actually. I was on a investigation a couple of years ago. They had the first global ghost hunt. It was every paranormal group was supposed to investigate the same night, and the idea was that would, you know, make it easier to contact. But everybody was supposed to have a medium. And the place that I went to, we actually had two of them, and they were interesting. The one seemed better than the other. That's the way it is in life. But I have mixed feelings on those. I don't have as much experience with mediums as much as some other people do. But a lot of them, there's different kinds of mediums too. Like, some of them, they sense, you know, they sense things, they sense feelings. There's other ones that they can literally see them and speak to them. So I had with them, she kept sensing like a time jump. it was really weird because after he said that, I was thinking, well, that's kind of weird. You know, why would he sense like a time jump? And the other medium even said, no, I don't sense anything. And then, again, it's electronics, and if you know things about electronics, a lot of times batteries will go dead when you're in like a haunted location because they're drawing the energy. But after she said that, like 5 minutes later, I like looked at my phone, and for whatever reason, my phone was like, it was the time like kicked ahead like over an hour. Could be a coincidence, but that was the only really any type of validation I had with mediums. I've talked to some like through Facebook and on those things, and I've seen videos and different shows with him. I think it would be definitely something that you'd want to try to see what results you get.
Right. Thanks for the response.
Good question. Yeah, I know that when I was at the Ryan Institute, I'll just add this for you. And please, Steve, you know, more questions are great. I know when I was at the Ryan Institute, there were a number of mediums in the Durham-Chapel Hill area in Raleigh, and they would offer to go out on ghost hunts and investigations with folks, and it was claimed that they were very helpful because, let's face it, there are some good mediums. There are some people that really seem to know things that a lot of us don't. So I think you're right. You just got to get a good one, but they can be a lot of help. They really can. So I'm sorry. Go ahead, Steve, please.
Is there any place you wouldn't go to look for ghosts?
There is like, one place that I wouldn't do unless it was like a really good reason is graveyards. And that's just out of respect for the dead. Like there's ghost hunters that investigate graveyards. The closest I ever came to investigating one, there's one in Gettysburg. It's nicknamed like the Lincoln Graveyard. It actually has a different name, but it's nicknamed that. And it's fenced in, and I was there with a friend, and I did some like EVP work. And he actually had experience there. But to me, to do a graveyard, it's just out of respect. I'm sure you could probably get good evidence, but I just think it's disrespectful unless you have a really good reason that you need to help someone.
Is there any place that has too much negative energy that you wouldn't want to go other than a graveyard?
Places that there's nowhere I wouldn't go, but, like I said, that farmhouse in Gettysburg is the only one I investigated that I got negative. There's other places that, like that Lizzie Borden house is supposed to be very negative. Like Waverly Hills. But I think if you're in a ghost hunting, there's going to be plenty of negative places that you'd have to go to. I'd go, unless it's a disrespectful thing, I would pretty much go anywhere.
Right. Because I recently heard about there's a forest in Japan where there's a lot of suicide death.
Yes. Suicide.
I figured maybe that. I figured that may be one of those places where you don't want to go, if that's how you feel.
There's a place in Gettysburg called I think it's the Eisenhower Bridge. It's known as a suicide bridge where someone supposedly committed suicide there. I investigated that. That was actually my first investigation ever. And
oh, wow.
A friend of mine that was with us, he felt somebody like scratch his back when he was there. We had these amplifier like headphones, and I could hear what sounded like bayonets or something knives being, you know, scraped together, and I heard like some Civil War music. But again, we were in Civil War. I mean, this was late at night, but so. Would I go to a place where somebody committed suicide? Yeah, I would. I just think a graveyard is like, that's their resting spot. Unless I have a reason, I'm not going to go there just
right.
to try to get evidence.
That's cool. Is there any other battlefields besides Gettysburg that are worth checking out?
Well, they say Antietam. I think I'm pronouncing that right. That's like Maryland. That was the bloodiest day during the Civil War. That one is supposed to be. That's on my list of ones to do. That's known for stuff. Beyond that, I don't know of too many other battlefields that are known for any type of
hauntings. Yeah. So, is there are hotels a good spot for investigating ghosts?
Is a hotel a good place to investigate?
Yeah.
Well, the places that I say that, they were like historic, like almost like getaways. They weren't like, they have like 8 rooms, 10 rooms. You know what I mean? It's not like a 400-room motel. Now, the Gettysburg Hotel, that is known as a haunted location. That's definitely a place that I drive by like 3 times a week. that's definitely a place I need to investigate. That's a bigger, I don't know how many rooms it has, but that's much bigger. The only thing that you have to worry about is obviously like people walking around. It would just ruin your evidence. You know, like if you're recording and you get a voice, but you have like 500 different people, because, you know, sound travels, you know, you got vents. The less people you have, the more evidence you can kind of like validate.
So the more abandoned places are easier to search for.
Right. Mostly just because your evidence won't get tainted.
It's interesting. Because I like haunted hotel type, Stephen King type movies. And I was wondering if there's any possibility of empty hotels being a good place to look.
Well, in general, is hotels good? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
I think they're fine.
I guess when they're not busy.
Cut out there.
Is there any documentaries or movies that don't exaggerate or not too fictional and depict paranormal investigation or ghosts accurately, or that you would recommend?
Well, I would go the documentary route if you want to watch something. I actually met, I'm sure you know the show Ghost Hunters. I met Tango from Ghost Hunters and his dad in Gettysburg at an event. And his dad actually made a documentary about his experiences. Because basically when he was a young kid, it was a man that would come into his room, you know, and a ghost. And it was a really good documentary. Probably find that online. He was selling it that day. But that was but as far as actual Hollywood movies, I mean, Poltergeist is fun, but things don't usually. Like when things move, it's, you know, you might see something move, but and you're not going to see things flying through the air. At least I never have, you know. But most of the movies are just movies.
Is there a lot of demonic possession in paranormal in searching for ghosts, or is that a rare thing?
To me, it's rare. However, if you're a religious man and you read your Bible, the Bible validates that ghosts exist. But it says in there, but every spirit, however, that's on earth, is actually a demon. Even if they're acting like there's someone else, they're all demons. So according to the Bible, pretty much anything you see, any spirit would be a demon. To me, the only negative one was in that farmhouse. I've never Yeah, cause I saw, that ghost that ran in front of my car that day. It looked a little bit demonic, but I didn't get any feelings off of it. That Farnsworth Inn, I get good evidence there. I'm not negative at all about it. Just that farmhouse, for some reason, it just seems so negative. I don't know.
Did you mention, talk about the farmhouse earlier and what happened
what's
there?
What's that?
Did you talk about the farmhouse earlier and what happened there?
The Farnsworth Inn, I talked about the soldier. I don't think I told the story, though, about in Gettysburg, it's a tourist town. So every store pretty much has signs that it says restrooms for customers only. So, and I was going down to actually take karate in Gettysburg. I was heading down there, and, I drive by the Farnsworth Inn, and the other bathroom is kind of like a – it's not in the main room or anything. It's kind of like outside. So I stop there, just run in the bathroom real quick. I go up to the men's room, and the door is like almost halfway open with the light on. So I reach for the door, and the door like pulls in and then shuts on me. So I'm thinking, okay, well, somebody's in there. So I wait, and I can hear somebody moving in or moving around a little bit. You can see the shadow under the door. So, I'm waiting forever. And then I go up to the door. I was like, well, maybe nobody's in there. I go up to the door. I can still hear the noise, still see the shadow under the door. Eventually, I came up and I just like knocked on the door. And then I turned the door and opened it, and nobody was in there. And I try to recreate it. I put the door. The door won't stay halfway open by itself, but it will stay maybe a quarter of the way open. There's no way it pulls in, though. So that was and I was just there to go to the bathroom. I had no interest in investigating anything at the time. So that was definitely a weird experience.
So is the Farnsworth Inn still in use?
Oh, yeah. That's like a bed and breakfast. It's I go there. They have I eat there at least once or twice a month. It's a tavern. There's a main restaurant. There's the inn. It's a really nice place. They have a lot of different events there too.
Oh, okay. So everybody works together, the ghosts and the people. Okay. That's great. Yeah, go ahead, Steve. I'm sorry, I just had to ask that question.
No, I mean, I pretty much asked it earlier, but are the found footage paranormal activity type movies like very like false or not realistic when it comes to paranormal activity?
Like I said, most movies are I'm not sure if I've actually seen the movies you're speaking of, but a lot of it, like, it's rare. Even most ghost hunters that you see on TV, they've never actually seen a ghost. Most of the time, you'll pick up sound. The EVP is a really intriguing thing. When you basically take, you have a tape recorder, you ask questions, you don't hear anything, but because it's kind of like a dog. A dog sounds, can hear things on different levels. And, ghosts could be on a different level. And then you play back a tape, and then the tape picks up those levels, and you can actually hear answers to your questions. So EVPs is like a big evidence you get. EMFs, you can get good electric magnetic fields to indication, but that alone I wouldn't take as saying it's haunted. But when you get like, three or four different things going on, and you can validate it with like different equipment, that tends to give you more credibility as far as the evidence. But most, like I said, most movies, if you want to really learn about it, I would look at documentaries.
Okay. What's the best kind of device to use for investigating, like audio, thermal, and stuff like that?
Yeah. Thermal, I don't have as much experience with. That can be really good, though. To me, though, I always take my my EMF reader, my EVP, I also the spirit box. Some people use dowsing rods. I've used them. I don't really get a lot from them, and to me, it's like I really don't get it. But one of the things when you're talking about like movies, I'm not sure they do this in movies, but like with TV shows, like for me, I know it's so fake when like they put the, if you know the EMF or a K2 meter, it has like lights on it, and when it senses electric magnetic fields, it'll this is basically electric, it will, the lights will turn, like they'll turn green. So sometimes they'll go into a room, they'll sit it down and be like, if there's a spirit here, make the light turn green. And then the light turns green. See, to me, that right there is fake. Because how would it know to do that? Now, if you watch a show and they put the K2 down there and they explain, you know, if you come close to this, it'll send off a light, we'll know you're here. You know, they explain it to them, then it makes sense. Do you know what I mean? Like obviously, like how would it know to make it turn green and then it turns green?
Interesting. Is there prisons maybe, but are concentration camps like? Do they have a record of ghost activity?
Definitely. Eastern State Penitentiary. That's up near Philadelphia. That's like, I haven't been there yet, but that's like every ghost hunter pretty much wants to go there. That's been on every TV show. Now the ghost hunters, there's one in Carlisle, Pennsylvania, which is 45 minutes from Gettysburg. Ghost hunters actually went there and investigated that. It's a little prison, but it's an old prison. And they got a little, I think they just picked up EVP there. I'm not sure. I don't remember the exact evidence they got. But that's a famous prison. The names, I can't think of the name right now, but like there's a famous building. It wasn't a prison, but like the fact that tuberculosis with a hospital, basically. That's a real famous one because so many people died there. It's almost like any place where people died in agony or suddenly. It's usually where you get hauntings.
Do you think there would be a lot of that in Europe?
In Europe?
Yeah.
Well, the thing is they have a lot older buildings over there, like castles, and there's a lot of castles over there that are known to be haunted. There's actually one, I can't think of the website right now, but there's different ones online where you can actually, they have a live feed 24 hours a day, like different rooms where you can actually watch this place and see if you see anything.
It's interesting. Because I think my mom told me that I went to Europe with her as a baby, so I don't remember anything, but she told me I had negative reactions in certain areas in Europe, and was wondering if that's a possibility of why that was.
Yeah, I mean, there's alleged hauntings every continent in the world.
It's cool.
I think every castle that I went to last time I went to England, every one of them had a ghost tour, and they could do overnights. I mean, it was pretty phenomenal. They're all taking advantage of it because people do like it. So I tell you what, Steve, you got anything else for Ed?
Is there anywhere we can find out more about your work?
I have a Facebook page. It's Ed's Ghost Journeys.
Okay.
And yeah, everybody's welcome to go on there.
Cool.
Okay, that's great. All right, everybody needs to go to Ed's Ghost Journeys on Facebook and check out what Ed has done. And Ed, I want to say thank you very much for being on here. It's been extremely informative, told a lot of great stories. We've learned a lot of history. And if anybody wants to get in touch with Ed, go to Ed's Ghost Stories on Facebook. I think that's great. I got that right, didn't I, Ed?
Ed's Ghost Journeys.
Ed's Ghost Journey.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Ed's Ghost Journey. Well, everybody check that out. And so we want to say thank you very much on behalf of everybody here at ScaryCast for joining us tonight. It's been a lot of fun. And we'll keep up with you on Ed's Ghost Journey, and we'll talk to you again in the future, and you can let us know what new and interesting things you have found. How's that?
Yeah, that's great. Thanks for having me. Been a pleasure.
Right. Well, it's been great having you, Steve. Thank you very much. You've had some really good questions, and we'll all convene sooner or later here on ScaryCast. So everybody be sure to check out the Georgia Bigfoot Conference. Please buy your copy of Lizard Man, Bigfoot, and Friends on Amazon. We need everybody to read that. It's a fun book. It was fun putting it together, and I hope people like it. So on behalf of everybody here at ScaryCast, we want to say thanks. Have a great night. And we'll see you next week. Time to be announced. We'll let you know what's happening. Thanks a lot, everybody. See you soon.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks.